And it looks like we're ready for recording. So where we are today as we're coming to this, I look at the message to bring today, that I wanted something, what it's fathers, and I wanted to address that, but I also wanted to make it relevant to everyone. And so as I looked at that here, this slide brought me to where I really wanted to be. And if you look at the footsteps that's going there, of course, those are in sand, so wind can come and blow them away, or the waves can come up and wash them away, right? But everybody leaves footsteps in their life. And that there's a legacy. And we're going to read the scripture that's attached with this. If you go to that first. Next. And we can see here from the Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, just trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If you follow this, you're going to be leaving a good legacy. The footprints that you leave in your life are going to be rewarded. They're going to be positive. They're going to be something to really to pass on to that next generation. So as we're looking at from the future aspect of it, that's what we want to do. We want to live our lives, especially as Christians. We're going to look at some of the things that's there that's going to be positive from the scripture that would be a good legacy, and how we would go about accomplishing that. And I'm going to be talking about the next slide, please. If we look at legacy, so we understand what we're doing, it's something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. This is compliments of Webster. I didn't want to send and ponder on it for that long and give my own interpretation, so I cheated and I went to Webster's. But anyway, that kind of gives us where we're starting out as we understand. It's something we're leaving behind. It's something that we're going to be remembered by. On our final days, I tell people, don't remember how I died. Remember how I lived and the positive things. Now, there were some negative things. I admit that. I'm not perfect. But that's what we want to look at. What is that legacy that we're leaving? And as you've seen from that first slide there, it says, what will your legacy be? So I want to go on to this next slide, if you would. Now, this is from Acts 13:22. After removing Saul, he made David, he being God, their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, and I highlight this in red, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Now, let's take a look at David. Now, I'm not focusing on David himself, but I'm wanting to focus on what David's character was. Why did God call him a man after my own heart? Well, think back of David. David was a shepherd, poor in stature. Age 16, he was anointed by Samuel to be the next king. Was he king the next day? Anyone?
No.
He had to wait 14 years. He was age 30 when he was placed into to that position. So they're talking about here that after God had removed Saul, that after David was anointed, then at age 30, David became the king. Now think about this. So we're going to do a little bit of vision, and the scripture doesn't exactly spell this out this way, but kind of a visualization, and it could possibly be this way. But think of David as a shepherd. And so David was out there. I was out in the field with his sheep by himself. Was he listening to iPhones? Pull out his iPad and kind of like this? No, I don't think so. He was out there with the sheep by himself. And so in the evenings that we see that, he had a lot of time to ponder in that. And so as we look at this, David continued to trust in God. Now one of the things I want to look at is the from 1 Samuel. I have my Bible up here, but I printed it in large print. I'm over age 60, so you'll understand why it's large print. But 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37, this is about the story with Goliath. And this kind of gives a little bit about David's character. David had a great relationship with God. And it was a continuum where he was talking with him, he was praying, he was listening. And we're going to read one of the Psalms of David in a minute. But David, now this is with Goliath. Now, you remember the story of Goliath? All the Philistines are out there, and the Israelites are standing there, and out come Goliath, and they're trembling. They're fearful. They're probably ready to run, and some of them probably were. But here's how David was appalled that he comes up there, and these men, the army of God, was fearful of this. And here's how David, this young shepherd boy, went up there, and David said to Saul, and this is from 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Now listen to this. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defiled the armies of the living God." David was appalled at this, that this Philistine went out there, and I won't get into the thing, but Goliath's out there mocking them, mocking God. And David is appalled at this was going on. Now here's where David's faith comes in. "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So what we see here, as David was walking this life here, that he trusted in God. Here's this young man, go after a lion, go after a bear to protect the sheep. But he trusted God. He says, "I'm able to do this because God was with me." And so you see that relationship that David had in trusting God. Now the other thing I want to read, Psalm 96. And this really, as you read the Psalms of David, I mean, it almost makes me want to weep as I sit there and just listen to the beautiful. And I'm not just the poetic part, but what it's talking about, that relationship with God, that relationship that each of us should be having. What a legacy that David left. He was known as the man of God. Did David fall? You only have to mention the word Bathsheba. And David, and one of the things with Bathsheba that we see David was wrong in that was going on, ignoring that as a sin. But remember, God called Nathan to confront David. And he used a story where a man had one sheep, and this man had a bunch of other sheep, but he took this one sheep and played it and all of that. David was furious. "What? Bring me this man, I'll kill him." And then Nathan said to him, "David, it was you." And David repented and was back in that relationship with God. So as we can see there, David wasn't perfect. But David sought God. That is his legacy. David sought God. David was just wanted God with him. He realized what power was in that relationship with the Lord. But let's see how he praises God from Psalm 96. "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all his people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of all the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all the creation rejoice before the Lord. For he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness." As we look at that, I can only imagine David sitting out there in the field, the stars around him, and looking at God's creation, and just singing and raising up these praises, this worship to God. Now, some of the times, I don't know about you, sometimes I like to take scripture and pray scripture back to the Lord. And the psalm is a good thing to do, as David had written it, that as your heart is open, the Spirit's moving in you, just take that psalm and just pray it back to the Lord. But that's what David did. And that's why he was called a man after God's own heart. We can see the other attributes that David had as he went through there, as he treated life. He was respected by the people. There's a story that where one of David's wives, who he married outside of the tribe, and she was of a different religion, and David was out in the street singing and dancing, glorifying the Lord, and she thought that was undignified, and she called him to that. And yet we see with David, David continued, regardless of what people said, worshiping God. We know that he went through the time that with Saul. Saul tried to kill him before David was anointed as king. As we see with Absalom, his son was actually trying to kill David as David had gotten older. But David did not return away from the Lord. And the legacy that David left was passed on to one of his sons. And that son was Solomon. And we see that from the verse of Solomon, how that went. The songs of Solomon and how David's legacy, that God honored what legacy David had in relationship with him, with his son Solomon. And it was Solomon that rebuilt the temple. David wanted to, but God said no, because there's blood on your hands. David was a warrior. But God anointed and appointed Solomon to rebuild the temple. What a legacy that we had with David. And again, I don't want to focus just on David, but how that legacy was left because David followed the Lord. David was in relationship with God. And we see that. Now, how does this apply to us? Well, we can see that a legacy we can leave would it be people that are following the Lord. That would be the example that we would leave. Now, one of the examples, next slide if you would please. I like this little guy here. Because what I'm seeing here, what I want you to understand is that legacy. Do we encourage our children to pray? Does our children look at us and seeing when we're in times of trouble, are we sitting there wringing our hands and complaining about it? Or are we figuratively on our knees praying and our children see that they know that to come and pray? And that's what I like about with the little guy. I first ask for praying hands and I see this and I go, oh, I like this. Because this is a legacy that we can leave our children. Are we people of prayer? Are we prayer warriors? And we're going to talk a little bit about this, that as we go into this, what does it mean? Now we have a scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 up there. It's a short scripture. It says, pray continuously. Or some of the Bible say, pray without ceasing. I was concerned about that. Not struggling, but concerned about it. What does that mean? Does that mean you go sit in the corner and you don't do anything? You just pray continuously? No, that's not what it means. What God has shown me is that you're always and constantly looking for opportunities to pray. You're looking for the circumstances to pray. You're reminded to come to prayer first, not as a last resort. And you're looking for people. God has showed me to pray now. And this is nothing of raising myself up, but it's where God convicted me. And when God convicts you of something, you can't get away from it. God showed me that I can say, I'll pray for you. But what God convicted me of is, why aren't you praying with him? And that's something that God showed me. That, and I'll be walking through a grocery store, and you all know me, how I am. And I'll see a stranger, and I go, hey, how you doing? I'm all right. So that doesn't sound good. What's going on? And they'll tell me. And I'll ask them, can I pray with you? There's only been a couple times that somebody said no. That's no offense to me. God calls me to pray without ceasing. So I'm doing what God's commanded me to do. But the majority of the people are that. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a snippet here. And there's several of them, how God has blessed me in doing that. I was in the grocery store, and this is no shock to you, but I was telling them some of the stories. And they looked at me and said, you know, you're funny. We want to tell you how much this meant to us. I'm going, really? The customer just before me was miserable. Ruin these people's day. And they said, you made our day. And so I said, can I pray with you? We did. And time after time, as Christians that I see one lady in the store was standing there talking to her. I said, oh, I see you're moving. And we got the conversation. I said, can I pray with you? We come to find out what it was. Her husband, who was in the military, had moved to Colorado. It already reported for duty there. She was here trying to get the house ready to sell. And she was really overwhelmed. And so we stopped and we prayed. And she looks at me and she goes, I just got done working out and I'm all sweaty, but I sure would love to give you a hug. I go, it wipes us off. And so I gave a hug to this lady. And so this is in the middle of a store, grocery store, with a stranger. And you know, no credit to me. That's God's Spirit working within me. That's God's Spirit saying, I want you to be my ambassador. I want you to be the intercessor for this person. And you know, have you ever thought about this? That when God, when you get this thing and say, well, I got this thought in my mind, I think I need to pray for this person. Well, you know, that's probably the Holy Spirit convicting you. Another story. 3:15 in the morning, I'm laying there in bed, wake up just like that. And this friend of mine come to my mind. His friend had a collapsed lung about 3 or 4 weeks before, and I had helped him with some stuff and that. And I didn't know why, but I just stopped and started praying for him. Then went back to sleep. Next day, I picked up the phone. I got to work and called him, and he was a co-worker in a different office. So what happened at 3:15 in the morning? There's this hesitancy on the line. And he goes, why did you ask? And I explained to him what I'd had, how I woke up. And Dave said, I woke up with this excruciating pain in my chest. He said, I couldn't endure it. He said, and just as quick as it came on, it went away. And so I said, thank you. See, God can heal without us being part of it. He's God. But he allows us to be part of that. To be the intercessors for one another. And that's what the scripture calls us to be, is be these intercessors. So that's when it says, pray without ceasing, or pray continuously, is looking for those opportunities to pray. Now, is God calling you to be directing you to be an intercessor for somebody? And that's what we want to look at. That's why we're saying, always be on the alert, always be on the lookout for those opportunities to pray for people, for their salvation. For people that are going through struggles in life, that as they're looking at the different things that's going on, and the thing is, you have to be in a relationship. One of the things that God showed me, the best way of evangelism is, I want you to be a friend to me so I could introduce you to my friend Jesus. So, as we look at that, we always want to be on the lookout. How can we serve God? How can we serve others? And so as we go through that, now, one of the other things, come alongside of people, which is a good legacy to have. Kelly and I won't tell you all of that, but we were digging a bush out of here. We had, coming from higher authority, that bush needed to be removed. I walked up and Kelly said, Jim, this is not my idea. I said, David, never passed, or I said, Kelly, it never passed my mind that it was. But so we're out there. But I had a really good time because I'd seen Kelly talk. But here on Sunday morning, just not enough time to get to really know people. And so we were out there and we finally got the bushes out. The 2x4 snapped and I went flying, and that was probably a sight to see, but it was such a good time though. And that's where we need to be, on the continual lookout. How can we be a blessing to others as we walk in life? Coming alongside of somebody where you can be a friend. Doing some other things that were there. So we've seen on the prayer, and I'm kind of segueing into the next thing. Next slide. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just in Christ God forgave you. There's unlovable people out there. There's unlovable people out there. There's people that are that societies are prejudiced against. Now, was Jesus prejudiced? What did Jesus do to those unloving people that was in his time? He hated the sin, he loved the sinners. He associated with them. He showed his love and compassion to them. And that's what we need to do. We need to be out there to where we're showing that God made all people, so to be kind to everyone. But in the scripture we're seeing that God forgave you. Is there anybody you're holding a grudge against right now? Now, I want you to, if that's the case, I want you to take a look and say, well, what have you done? Has God forgiven that? Absolutely, God has. He doesn't hold any injury. As far as the east is from the west. But yet, we need that. Sometimes we harbor it in ourselves and that we forget what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was in forgiving and canceling out our sins. They no longer exist. Cancel it out. So we need to, as we live our lives in society, we need to be Christ-like and looking at loving these people. I had an opportunity, and I really kind of failed at it a little bit. My heart was in the right way, but I didn't think it all the way through. I was living in the Irving Park area. Mary and the kids were still in Michigan, and I happened to be staying at the YMCA, which is not a luxurious hotel, but I could afford it. And next door, there was a little restaurant there, and so I'd stop there, eat breakfast before I go to work, and a homeless man came in. And I seen him up there at the counter, counting his pennies out, probably to get a cup of coffee. So I called my waitress over. I said, look, I said, go see if that man wants some pancakes, give him some pancakes and put it on my bill. So that's a good thing, right? But what I should have done is got up, went to the man, said, would you come and join me? I was willing to give of my money, but I was hesitant to give of myself. And I regretted that because I could have had an opportunity to sit down with that man and talk to him about Jesus in my life. And I failed that. Now, here's what happened. She went up to him asking. The guy said, yes, sir. He turns around, this restaurant full of people, and says, hi, thanks. He said, I just found this steak in the dumpster. Would you like to share it? I just finished my breakfast. But you know what? He was willing to share what he had. And I mean, people out there and homeless, and you're hungry, they go to any means to be able to feed themselves. So I regret that I did not extend to myself. So as we're looking about that, we're talking about, next slide if you would please. And I promise I'll have you out at 11:30. That was Pastor Dan's instructions also. So from Acts 4:33-35, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had a need. Now, let me go on record. I'm not advocating you sell everything and bring it here and put it at Pastor Dan's feet. But what I am saying out there, that we look for people that has needs. And if we can help them, that's what we should be doing. Without strings attached, without pride. But that's what we should be doing. We should be looking to help the others that are out there. A lot of times we're talking about we see this man here. He not only bought this lady groceries, but it looks like he's carrying them home for her. And so that's what we need to do. We need to be giving, not only of our finances, but giving of ourselves. Spending time. And that should have been that homeless guy. That's what I should have been doing is sitting down there beside him so I could talk with him. Now, the food filled his stomach, but being in a relationship or conversation with somebody who really cared about him could have been food for his heart. And so that's what we want to do, is be giving that. A kind word. I do animal balloons, as some of you know. And I did at work, I did some for people, not thinking about it, for their birthdays or special occasions. And I'd walk through the office, and I'd see these balloons that are all shrunk up and kind of shriveled, and they're still there. And I'd go, why are you doing with those? Well, I love them so much. It meant so much to me. And you don't realize how the things you do that just show, take the time out for a person. Take the time out to where, husband, just bring your wife a flower for no reason. Or just a kind word. These are things, and for our kids as fathers, that taking that time to listen to them, to say, I care about you. One of the times that I did with Mary is that she would come to me, and if you read the book, Men Are From Venus, Women Are From Venus and Men Are From Mars, it talks about the difference between men and women. Women, they want to give you the story. Men, I just want the facts, like Jack Webb. Drag that. Those of you who are younger, get somebody that's older and they'll explain it to you. But what it is, I needed, when Mary came up to talk with me, I needed her to see that I was interested in what she had to say. I didn't care what was on TV. It was a show, sports or that. I'd turn off the TV and listen to her. Is that right, Mary? Okay, yeah, she said. But we see that. So it's more than just giving of that thing, but giving of yourself, taking that time to do that. So I'm going to leave you with this. Next slide. What will your legacy be? Give some thoughts. What will your legacy be? How will people remember you? You know, when you're gone, or even now, what will your kids say about you to their friends or to their children or to their grandchildren. And I hope it's kind of a positive thing rather than, boy, he was a good cook. I hope that it's some of the things that he loved his family and that.